The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
You're listening to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock this evening. Minister for Public Expenditure Michael McGrath is with me in studio. Minister, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kieran.
Let me ask you about this report from the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council. Some praise for government in the report, but I suppose they raise a couple of red flags, particularly when it comes to budgeting for health reform, Sláinte Care in particular, and the Climate Action Plan. What's your reaction to that criticism?
Thanks, Kieran, for having me on. And I think, broadly speaking, it's quite a positive report. Even if you just look at the summary, you've got to go about four pages into it to see any form of relatively mild criticism. IFAC welcome the fact that, in their view, we struck the appropriate balance in the budget in October between supporting the economy and putting the finances on a sustainable path. They've also welcomed a number of the key reforms that we've introduced, including on my own side in relation to expenditure. We have made a more realistic assessment of the amount of money that's needed now to sustain services, and also that we have an anchor now in relation to our spending that is not going to grow any more than in line with the underlying trend growth in the economy. So they've welcomed an awful lot of what we have done.
That's the 5% rule. Now, they did suggest that should be put on a legislative footing.
They did, and we'll consider the report. It's a detailed report.
So
and
you might do that.
They've made a number of recommendations, which, you know, we will take on board and examine. And having done that in the past, I think is why we have got some acknowledgement and some welcoming noises from the council in relation to changes that we have made.
So you might do that. You might put that on legislative footing.
We'll give that consideration. But in relation to the point that they make around Sláinte Care and climate action, I think the real value of what we have now is a fiscal framework out to 2025. So we know what the spending rule is. We know exactly how much our public expenditure can grow by over that period of time. And we also have a national development plan out to 2030. So we have a €165 billion national development plan, which is about green and sustainable investment. So, for example, the Department of Transport has a budget of €35 billion over that period of time. The Department of the Environment, Climate Action Communications has a budget of about €13 billion. So between those two, that's €48 billion. And when you look at the overall cost of implementing the Climate Action Plan, it's not going to all be met by the Exchequer and by taxpayer. It will involve you and I and private citizens all over the country and businesses making spending and investment decisions that support our climate action objectives. So we are satisfied that having embraced and enshrined our overall capital spending profiles out to 2030 now and done it in a manner that's consistent with the budgetary framework, that we have the capacity to deliver on the objectives.
Yeah.
And in relation to Sláinte Care, I think we haven't been found wanting when it comes to providing resources for improving capacity, for introducing the reforms in our healthcare system. We are going to have to continue to do that. It will have to be within overall budgetary framework we have.
Yeah.
It's not all about spending more money. It is also about reforms. It is about achieving a new consultant contract, for example, which is currently under negotiation.
Yeah, but there will be some spend. And just on those budgetary forecasts out to 2025, what they say is that, you know, the government's forecast, it will be that there'll be about $1.6 billion per year for additional spending measures over and above what's already committed. IFAC, the Fiscal Advisory Council, say about $1.1 billion of that will be needed just to stand still, that keep existing levels of services and benefits, which leaves only about 500 million, which is a lot of money, but only 500 million for climate change and healthcare reform, which they seem to suggest, reading between lines, might not be enough for the type of reform we're talking about.
Yeah, and the precise assessment can only be made in the lead up to each individual budget. But what we have here is an overall framework where we set out our forecast for revenue, and also we have the rule in relation to how much expenditure can grow by over that period of time. We estimate that we will have about €1 billion on the expenditure side alone each year to do new things, new measures, and about €500 million on the taxation side for a package each year as well. And that may vary year on year, depending on revenues, depending on the economic circumstances that we face. But the overall picture, which I think is what many of your listeners would be interested in, is that the outlook is quite positive. You know, we expect our economic output, we call it GNI Star, to grow by over 5% next year. Modified domestic demand, which is a very good economic measure of what's going on in the domestic economy, to grow by even more than that, over 6%. Tomorrow we will release the exchequer returns for the month of November, which is a key month for the state in relation to revenues. And again, you will see further evidence of quite a strong recovery in the Irish economy. So the outlook is positive, but we need to be sensible in how we manage the budgetary position over the next number of years.
I'd wager you could probably count on one hand the amount of conversations around the dinner table tonight that will mention GNI Star or modified domestic demand. And of course, look, they're important in putting the plan in place.
About it, so.
Exactly. But I suppose what people might worry about, and I'm not sure if they'll talk about it around the dinner table, but on some level they might worry about it, is that we've got these ambitious climate action targets. And I'll pick one, say the 500,000 homes that we're going to retrofit between now and 2030. And straight out the gap, you had the likes of the Construction Industry Federation saying that that was completely unrealistic. There is not the labour there to hit those targets, and there's not the materials either, so they don't know how it's going to be done. And then they see the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council as well, you know, raising some questions about how that type of thing is going to be funded over the next 9 years out to 2030. And I suppose the fear that people have, or the suspicion maybe that people have, is that we're going to end up with the climate action target, the climate action plan, with another great plan that's great on paper. And that's it. And it doesn't become great in reality.
Well, we have to implement it. We have no choice. And this isn't just about our domestic obligations, the fact that we have...
But we haven't budgeted properly for it. We don't have the labour for it, and we don't have the materials for it.
We have lots of challenges. None of this is going to be easy. But you raised the specific issue of retrofitting, for example. And that is why we have made the conscious decision that over half of the proceeds we will collect from the carbon tax out to 2030 will go towards the National Retrofitting Plan. In the coming weeks, Eamon Ryan will unveil a new national retrofitting strategy. He will tell households what exactly they will get by way of supports, because people want to know if they're being asked to spend 30 or 40 or 50,000 euro to do a deep retrofit, how is the state going
to help
that be
enough?
To do
that? Will half of that money from the carbon tax be enough for that? Like to find the labour, for example, to retrofit those 500,000 homes, at the same time we need to find labour to build 300,000 homes, which your cabinet colleague Dara O'Brien is hoping to do over the same period. Again, you know, the numbers just don't seem to stack up, and the kind of the answer that we always got, and you just gave it to us, is, but we simply have to do it.
Well, we do need more workers. We need about 27,000 more workers, for example, to meet the Housing for All targets. And you know, thankfully, the commencement notices and the data is going in the right direction. We now forecast, and the central bank support this, that output next year could be 27,000 or so, up from around 21,000 this year. So that is going in the right direction. We are significantly increasing the capacity in the apprenticeship programme, and our aim is to double the number of apprentices going through the system each year. So there's a lot of work being done in the further and higher education sectors and in all of the agencies to increase the number of places, to attract more people, so that we can give them the skills to do this work. And the really positive thing here is that there is now a degree of certainty. We've sent a signal to the construction industry that out to 2030, the Irish government, the state, is going to spend a record amount of money on the public capital investment programme, among the highest in the EU, at about 5% of our economic output. That gives them great certainty. Yeah. And it also sends a signal to workers, some of whom are abroad, and indeed to young people who may be looking at this as a possible career option, that there are good prospects here and that there is a strong pipeline of work over the next number of years. And I think that is a real positive.
The report as well contains the usual warning about over-reliance on corporation tax. I'd want to ask you about that directly, but it's just on inward investment. Shane Coleman on News Talk Breakfast was talking a little bit about this today, and maybe the negative, undue negative attention that some foreign companies get in this country. This was on Allianz pulling out of the investment market here, that essentially you know, it's not worth the trouble given the negative press that it attracts. And we've got a country that is, we can debate whether it's over or under reliant, but certainly reliant on inward investment. We've got a need for capital in the housing market. And then you've got big institutional investors pulling out because they say it's just not worth the trouble. Does that worry you?
Well, this is a government that welcomes international investment. Ireland is in a global competition to attract international capital. And that is the reality. And we have to make sure that we have an attractive environment here to win that investment so that it can be deployed to deliver the homes we need.
Is the public debate making it unattractive? Because it's the public debate is what seems to have scared Allianz away.
Well, I think much of it comes down to the political debate. You know, tonight in the Dáil, the latter stages of the finance bill will be debated, and you can be sure that institutional investors will be called everything under the sun. And we are a government that do want international investment. We are clear on the purpose of it, though. The purpose of it in relation to property is to increase supply. What we don't want them to do is to come in and bulk buy already developed estates or apartment complexes or ones that are under construction. We want them to add to the supply to bring about developments that would not otherwise happen. And there's a key distinction there. And that's why we brought in, as you know, the stamp duty surcharge to deter that practice of investors coming in and competing with first-time buyers or other purchasers in the normal domestic market. But where they're coming in, bringing international capital to Ireland to deliver homes that would not otherwise be built, that is where we need to absolutely, in my view, welcome it, embrace it, and have an environment that is favourable towards it. Other countries will gladly take it. And, you know, there is an enormous international competition underway for jobs, for investment, and we just have to make sure that we remain attractive.
While you're here, let me just briefly ask you before you go about COVID and the first confirmed case of Omicron, the Omicron variant in Ireland. I mean, there was something of the kind of King Canute about these international travel restrictions or new rules about it, put it on yesterday. We were never going to keep it out, weren't we? That was a government and its advisors wanting to look authoritative.
Well, it's about slowing down the spread of it as well. And it's about acting in the face of a significant number of unknowns. And we still have a lot of unknowns in relation to this new variant.
We tied ourselves in knots with Delta trying to keep it out. And you can't keep it out.
Yeah, but you can slow down the spread of it. And, you know, we have made significant progress in relation to Delta. The situation has stabilised. We have to absolutely remain vigilant, and we know it's really hard for us to keep coming back to the well and asking people to do more. There should be no cause for panic. We are making progress. There is a lot we don't yet know about this new variant, its transmissibility, how it interacts with the vaccine, for example, and for people who are infected, how it presents itself in them. But the early data is that it is not more dangerous than Delta, for example, in respect of individual, how it applies to individuals when they get it. But look, there are unknowns, and I think it is right that we would be cautious when we are faced with those unknowns. But when it comes to the restrictions that have been imposed, for example, in relation to travel and the requirement for a PCR or an antigen test, we want those to be very short-term measures. Once some of the unanswered questions in relation to Omicron get answered, then we'd love to remove these restrictions and would intend to.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out again, we mentioned it earlier, the WHO at their own press conference today for the world's media, and according to them, they say there is no evidence yet that to suggest the efficacy of vaccines have been reduced by the new strain. So again, no need to panic. Minister for Public Expenditure, Michael McGrath. Minister.
Thanks, Kieran.
Thanks a million for joining me in studio.